can do it. The time is now. Let's get to it. Just believe. Just believe. Just believe.
In an ever-changing world, Life Changes Network presents the authentically entertaining voice of truth and inspiration. This is Life Changes with Filippo, with the always unforgettable, ever insightful conversations that captivate our fascination and insatiability for the inspiring moments of real life journeys. As we, as one, strive for higher planes of existence and a better understanding of our true selves and the world in which we live, always remembering, life changes. This is radio like you've never felt before. Good for all and all for good. And now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Talking about just believe, this is Filippo Voltaggio here on Life Changes with Filippo, and sometimes it's hard to just believe, and sometimes, many times, a good song can help us get right back into that and believing. And I know that's something that Mark believes and I believe, and both of us being singers, we both do that when we're out there singing, and so does our guest, Michael Amante. And that's why it's perfect that the three of us here are together today to have this conversation with all of you. Let me tell you a little bit about Michael, actually. Formerly, Michael Amante knew from early childhood that he wanted to be a singer. His first performances ranged from the choirs at his church and Catholic school to local rock bands, where his tenor voice helped him sing covers of Kansas, Foreigner, and Journey songs. Those of you who know him know that that's true. How he hits those notes, he only knows. After years of training, that diverse background still shows through in his light, clear voice, which is suitable both for operatic roles and for leading roles, like he's played in shows like West Side Story, Grease, Jesus Christ Superstar, and the list goes on and on. Well, now Michael's all grown up, and he is affectionately known as the people's tenor. He has been crowned the Prince of High Seas for his remarkable ability to hit and sustain with ease one of the highest notes of tenors' voices. Now, actually, he goes a little higher than that, or a lot higher than that. With Michael's long history of singing popular rock and gospel music, coupled with extensive classical bel canto training, he's able to sing, even higher, with a strength and mastery rarely heard anywhere in the world. Being able to produce these notes continuously within the context of a moving line and in conjunction with a beautiful sound requires not only talent, but skilled use of technique. As a matter of fact, Pavarotti, also the king of high seas himself, suggested has used Michael before. Let me see. What is his bio reads so long. Actually, you know what? I'm going to stop there, and we'll be back, and we'll talk more about Michael, a lot about Michael, when we come back.
Clean water is not enough. Reverse osmosis, distilled water, and most bottled waters are devoid of naturally occurring minerals. They are acidic, unstructured, and hard to absorb, and rob minerals from the body. IonWays ionizers produce a super abundant supply of powerful antioxidants in each glass. Ionized water has a reduced molecular cluster size and a negative charge, hydrating you up to 6 times better. Water from an IonWays ionizer will help you restore your body to its natural pH balance, boosting your vitality. An ionized water more effectively flushes acidic toxins from within your body. Drink the healthiest water available today. IonWays Water Systems, their water changes everything. To learn more about IonWays Water Systems and how you can own one today, visit our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our sponsor page.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
Yes, this is Filippo, and you are listening to not only Filippo, but to Mark as well. And very soon, you'll be listening to Michael Amante. And hopefully, if we're lucky, we'll get to hear some of his singing that we're already talking about. You know, it's interesting that, Michael, what does one say? So we know the publicity behind Michael and all the wonderful things that are said about him, all of which are true. And then there are other sides of Michael that not everybody gets to know, which are just as beautiful. And also some of the hard stuff that normally not everybody gets to know, or in one particular case, everybody got to know just before he walked on stage. And we'll talk about that, how one handles moments like that, or rather how he handled a moment like that, which it's interesting, some of the difficulties and things that performers have to go through in just living a quote-unquote normal life, or is there such a thing? In any event, I've known Michael for, we were trying to figure it out the other day, maybe 13 to 15 years, something like that. We didn't really pinpoint a date, but about let's just say 15 years. And it's interesting how as soon as we met and as soon as we connected on a fun, antagonistic kind of friendship where we did nothing but make fun of each other. Now, we both knew we were talented. We both respected each other's talent. And we both had different personalities and voices on stage, et cetera, and off stage, for that matter. And yet this antagonism, we kept making fun of each other. And it was just, believe it or not, me, of all people, one negative joke after another. And he's good at that too, right back at me. And it was funny stuff. And that's kind of how it continued for years, though we'd see each other and hug at different events. And, you know, kind of, we knew we loved each other by the harsher the joke got, and the funnier it was to each of us. And that's kind of where it was. And then fast forward to New Year's Day. I mean, this is kind of all too fresh, and I'm really proud of Michael for being on the show with us today, because it really hasn't been that long. To New Year's Day, I get a Facebook message from a friend saying, "You need to call Michael. He needs you right now." I get a phone call from another friend saying, "Michael needs you. Call him." I get an email from another friend, is Michael's looking for you. He can't find you. Call him. He needs to talk to you. So for some reason, the phone number I had for Michael didn't work because we didn't really call each other. And I called his manager. I had that number and I called his manager, and his manager says, "I can't, he's right now with the body." Actually, is he said something like that, but he wants to talk to you. I just can't disturb him right now. And I'm thinking, holy shit, what is going on over there? And his wife had just passed and left him with three kids, and well, left him and then three kids and all of that. And so I didn't get to talk to Michael until later that day. I think it was like 3 o'clock in the morning his time. And all I got was, you know, an hour's worth of crying, and I loved her. And it's just like, wow. And here's a guy who you look at, and everybody will say, somebody just wrote on Facebook, wow, he's handsome. Handsome, talented, great voice. He's got a great life for all intents and purposes. And his wife as well, a talented surgeon. And they had beautiful kids and beautiful house. Everything was going right. And then this happened. Well, everything was going right, at least it looked like to all of us. And that's part of why I'm so proud of Michael for being on the show to talk about this, because to me, he's mixing together truth, which is not always what we get from celebrities. So at that moment on that New Year's Day, less than a year ago, our friendship changed. And there was a lot of, I love you, mans, and thanks you for being there. And you've been a friend and all of that. And we've known each other. We've known that, but we've never said that. And the relationship changed. So we got to see each other just this past week when he was performing in Los Angeles. And I felt a new Michael. I think the world felt a new Michael in his performance. And it's stronger. It's more authentic. It pierces the heart even more. And this next CD he comes out does that and more. So I'm excited about that for him and for the world. And Mark, this is what you and I have been talking about forever. And here's a fine example of the life changes that leads us to connecting with our soul even more.
Well, yeah, these types of coming together and getting to know people through or as a result of circumstances, you know, when you look back, those are the most defining moments of your life. And a lot of people kind of gloss over them as, oh, just kind of part of, you know, what happens. But I think it's even more critical to kind of pay attention to those moments and what's going on and how we reacted and or who was there with us or for us.
You know, actually, really good points there, Mark. And one of them is that I know so many people that get ill, cancer, what have you, and they get healed and then they move on with the rest of their lives like nothing happened. And so what happens? They get it again. It's like they didn't get it. Michael certainly could have just said, wow, that sucks and life sucks. And then, you know, and just gone on. But he was already on a path of consciousness. And so with this happening, he just got even more conscious. As a matter of fact, he joined the seminary for a while. So it's just like he was like ready to get in there and say, what do I need to learn from this is what I felt.
Well, and that's interesting. I mean, you know, when you talk about cancer and that, unfortunately it takes those types of events where people, you know, not all the time, but most of the time get it. But then you have just your everyday, you know, kind of journeys, you know, people losing jobs or having, you know, situations happen within their relationships and how soon they forget. And like you said, they don't get it. And then you get right back into a similar situation and repeat the pattern again until you are conscious or until you take steps like Michael did from what we're learning today to take steps towards, you know, towards that kind of greater goal or a greater connection with his own self and path.
Absolutely. Let's hear it straight from him. He's known as the King of the High Seas. He's also affectionately known as the People's Tenor. And what I started to say earlier is Pavarotti suggested but one name to perform in his stead for an international audience, and that name was Michael Amante. Joining the ranks of high-class commentators was opera legend Franco Corelli, with whom Michael trained and who was lavish in his praise, saying that Michael was one of the greatest voices he'd ever heard. So with that, Michael Amante, welcome to Life Changes with Filippo.
Hey, man. It's good to be there, and I do love you. And I agree with everything you said except for one thing. You said I was all grown up. I don't think that's happened yet. So
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt.
I understand. So I'm in good company.
Actually, you know, what was it? Was it Peter Pan or something? I don't want to grow up.
Right, no, that sure. Yeah. No, that's Pinocchio, isn't it? I don't know. One of the two.
Maybe
hear your voice, brother.
Maybe it's a Toys R Us commercial. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kids or something. Anyway, great to hear yours. And actually, thank you, by the way, for sending me all those songs of your upcoming CD. I was honored and I got to enjoy them. And hopefully, if you'll let us, we'll play a few seconds of one of the songs a little later on.
Absolutely. Please do.
Okay. Well, there's obviously so much we want to talk about, and that we just have a short time together. But let me ask you this real quick, actually, before we break the commercial. How do you make those sounds up there?
I've got really big lungs and a big cranium, and you have to have a big head in order to sing high notes really loud. And my brothers and sisters will tell you I got the biggest head in the family.
So, oh, I'll tell you.
you'll tell me. But, you know, no, it comes from training and, you know, God's blessing. And, you know, I've been, even as a kid, I could sing high. You know, the Good Sisters of St. Anne's asked me to sing Oliver, and I was one of the few boys that could hit the notes. And I didn't have any reservation about doing so because I really wasn't into the sports or things like that. I loved music and art and, you know, so I've always been kind of a left of center.
Well, I was listening to one of the songs last night, and I'm like, what in the heck are those notes? Those are not C's. I don't even think they're D's. And I think they were E's or F's or something like that.
I think they're an E flat. So there's a few E flats somewhere, yeah.
Okay, yeah, craziness and sounding great. So when we come back, we're going to talk to Michael about some of the joys and some of the difficult parts of being Michael Amante at this point in life. So this is Filippo Voltaggio with Mark Legere on Life Changes with Filippo, and we'll be right back.
Are you like many people who want to make positive changes and improvements in your life and in the world around you? Do you ever feel like there's something holding you back from achieving your true potential? Join Stefan and Shaylee Schifeidel with the Tad James Company, the world's largest NLP, coaching, timeline therapy, and hypnotherapy training institute. Get ready for a life-changing experience that will give you the tools to transform your life through positive change and will help you create the future you want now. Their training programs are designed to provide you with the revolutionary knowledge, skills, and techniques necessary to effectively create long-lasting and life-changing effects. Discover more about neuro-linguistic programming and timeline therapy at www.nlpcoaching.com or call 888-440-4823. That's 888-440-4823.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as David Wilcock, Mariel Hemingway, Giorgio Tsoukalos, Marcy Shymoff, and Shadow Stevens on our archive page at our website at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.com. Remember, you can also connect with us via Twitter and Facebook, and now in our own community at lifechangesnetwork.com, where real people come together to share real life in real time. That's lifechangesnetwork.com.
And this is Filippo, and I'm here with Mark on Life Changes with Filippo. And we're talking to Michael Amante. And for those of you who are listening that might want to check out his website, while you're listening, you can go to michaelamante.com. Just as it sounds, Amante is M-A-A-M-A. A-M-A, just like it sounds. A-M-A-N-T-E. MichaelAmante.com. And so, Michael,
yes,
you know,
I didn't know I was going to have to spell for you too. But
no, you don't have to do that, but I appreciate you. You do have to do this and tell me this, that I had the pleasure of getting to meet you right at the beginning of this really beautiful career, which is right after you did Regis and Kathy Lee. Of course, you had done a lot of things before then, but as soon as you were on Regis and Kathy Lee, that's when I met you. And then things just started to soar on there from that to being on PBS to having a record out there. And then, you know, it just went from there. Could you just give us a little, you know, what that ride was like from the beginning, that from that point?
Well, I had been in New York for several months and doing some singing around town, and I started getting a lot of attention from you know, various people in the business. I was being brought up to a place in Harlem called Rao's, where I sang for, oh gosh, sang for Sophia Loren, and I kissed her on the lips just because I had to. and you know, a lot of celebrities. And then, you know, every night I was there, that somebody would say, "Oh, let's give the kid a record deal." And it was kind of like, I'd heard it so many times, I just got, you know, immune to it. And then somebody actually came through, and that was Charles Koppelman, and did the record. And the record was number one on the Billboard Classical charts in 2002. So it was very exciting because, you know, my whole life I've wanted to entertain. I wanted to be a singer, and I have been, you know, and I just wanted to be able to make that a vocation rather than an avocation.
Mm. And then in the midst of all this, you meet the love of your life, and you have three beautiful kids, and all is going well and exciting.
Yeah, it certainly seems to be going that way. You know, I saw Seema. I was performing at the Ellis Island Medal of Honor Awards, and I saw her walk in all by herself, in just beautiful gown. And I said, "Wow!" I said a word in Italian, which, you know, "Magari," you know, which means, you know, if the Lord would let this happen, I'll never sin again. But I saw her again several times by herself, and it was just, she was beautiful, just drew me to her.
And so obviously all of that was meant to be, and you had all the trappings of an amazing life and an amazing career. It's interesting. 2-3 years ago, I saw you drive into one concert in this really sexy Mercedes, and you were looking great. And I went up to say hello, and you said to me while you were hugging me, "I think my wife is dying." Then the tears started on both of us. And the next thing you know, somebody is announcing that on stage just before you walk up on stage to sing.
Yeah,
hello.
Thanks. Thanks for that. Yeah, that's something I didn't want to tell the public at that point, but I was kind of, you know, the people who come and see me, I've always felt them as my family and my friends. So I have a duet partner here on the East Coast, and she says, you know, you're very open with your audience, and it's like you don't hold anything back from them, and I feel like I can, you know, they support me by coming to see me sing and support me emotionally. And I have people that come to the house and bring the children food and clothes, you know, so they are like family. So sharing them the difficulties that Seema and I were encountering, and namely that she had a drug addiction, was a difficult thing to kind of start revealing to people, that it was destroying her life and ultimately led to her passing.
Now, at the time, at least what you were saying to people was that she had a heart thing, which she did, which is what started the use of the drugs, right?
Well, she had been medicating her emotional state of being. She had lived through some abuse. She grew up in Guyana, South America. Very, very difficult family relationships, very awful relationship with her mother. And she was one of 12, believe it or not. And she had two other sisters that passed away at very young ages. You know, so she was dealing with a lot of these issues that she never really kind of dealt with them properly. She just kind of internalized them and never brought them to light to people that could help her. So she started kind of medicating her pain, her emotional pain with, you know, she was a surgeon, so she was using the drugs that she used in her own practice on herself. And at first, I didn't even know anything that was going on. She seemed very normal. But with any of those kind of drugs, they were opiates like oxycodone and benzodiazepines like Valium and Ativan and some other drugs. You build a tolerance. So in order for you to get the same effect from those drugs, you have to load up. You have to double and triple. And at the time of her passing, she was taking doses that would have been lethal to you and I.
Wow. Wow. And of course, you had glimpses and were saying, you know, are you taking care of this? And her being a surgeon and a good one at that, she thought she could handle it, and you were trusting that she could, right?
Sure. Well, I was saying, you've got to get help with this. You can't do this by yourself. And she would say, I'm doing it. I'm going to get help. She had four pain doctors that didn't know about each other. So she was kind of abusing the system and really not telling me the truth. And a lot of addicts, they go through that where, you know, the people closest to them, they tell them the biggest lies. And when I would notice bruising down her leg, I would say, darling, you know, why do you have these bruises down your leg? And she would just look me right in the face and say, oh, that's a B12 shot. Where actually what she was doing is she was crushing up tablets of oxycodone, putting it into an IV solution and jamming it into her femoral vein there, because her smaller veins were already clogged up and had other problems. So she was really in a state of grand denial and really kind of, you know, her last words to me were, you know, you're too good a man to deal with this. And I said, we're just going to make you better. We're going to get you well. And then, you know, 15 minutes later, she was gone. But I didn't know what else to do for her. We did have an intervention here at the house. They had an intervention at her office. So it's not like we just kind of idly sat by and watched her destroy herself. We did everything we could to help her. But really, and if you talk to addicts or people that work with addicts, that person has to decide for themselves that they want to end this struggle. They want to get out of this dungeon that they're living in. And if they decide that they don't, there's nothing on earth that anyone around them could do for them. She had a husband who adored her. She had three gorgeous, gorgeous, healthy children. She had everything to live for. But somewhere deep in her mind and in her soul and her spirit, she felt like she just couldn't go on.
You know, we of course know that so many people feel like that about so many different aspects of their own lives. And the interesting thing about this is, not only was it just this incredible life, but also she was a surgeon. And what you discovered, I think, in this process is that a lot of surgeons, doctors, go through some of these things. And I want to talk more about that when we come back, because some of them are also, from what I understand, doing surgery under these conditions. Obviously they are, because it just doesn't go away come the time that surgery is necessary for other patients. So I want to talk about that when we come back. But before we do that, I would like to play an interesting song, which was a song that you started to record for your new album that's coming up. And it was one that you were planning on surprising her with, this beautiful song. And instead, you ended up singing it at her funeral. This is Michael Amante from his upcoming CD, Singing Softly As I Leave You.
For my heart would break if you should wake and see me go. So I'll leave you softly long before you miss me, long before. After all the years, I can't bear the tears to fall so softly as I leave you there, as I leave you there. As I leave there,
listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens. Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page. You are listening to Life Changes with Filippo on the BBS Radio Network with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online via Twitter and Facebook and at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O.
This is Filippo and Mark here on Life Changes with Filippo. And before we went into commercial, you heard Softly As I Leave You, sung by Michael Amante on his upcoming CD, which is not released yet, but will be soon, called I'm On Your Side. You can learn when that's going to be released, or when it does get released, at michaelamante.com. You can also find that CD eventually on iTunes, as well as Michael's other CDs, of which he has a nice handful. So I'm On Your Side, coming out real soon here, I think in 2013. But check the website and also check iTunes. You of course, can check the website for the DVDs that he has, and also for the concerts that he has coming up. And he has a couple different concerts, and one is like a whole Italian show, and one is like the New York Tenors show, and one is the Christian music show. And Michael, that's kind of what I liked about what I saw this last time, was you had a little bit of the Christian music in there, and you had a little bit of the Italian, and a little bit of the like these songs right here, like Speak Softly As I Leave You. So you're quite Mr. Versatile.
Well, you know, I grew up watching people like Dean Martin and Elvis Presley, and, you know, those guys sang everything, you know, and Sinatra, they sang all kinds of stuff, you know.
True.
So I like variety. I've been in a bunch of Broadway shows, and I've done operas, so, you know, I like to see a nice mix of things, and I even recorded an old Styx song on this new record called Show Me the Way.
Nice.
I used to love singing that kind of material. And, you know, I just think it's exciting to be able to hit somebody's notes. I'm certainly glad that I can. But when I do, you know, I can see the chill ripple across the audience when I hit a high D or something. And that's just, it's a gas. It's fun to do. And I think it's, you know, it's very penetrating to hear. When I remember going to see certain musicians when I was a young boy, and just when I heard somebody sing high notes and just hit them perfectly, I would just get a shiver, you know. And it was just, it was thrilling, even when I was a kid.
Yeah, well, there it is. Okay. Tell me, you know, I actually haven't gotten to see, the only show I haven't gotten to see is the one where you do the Christian music. Could you tell me a little bit about that? Because I know you have a lot of fans in that arena as well.
Yeah, and I kind of, it depends on where I'm playing. I kind of tailor my shows to the community that I'm playing for. So if I'm playing in the East, more Italians, I'll do more Italian things. But I also do a number of shows with at churches around Central New York here, and when I'm in the Bible Belt, I'll do more of the gospel and Christian music kind of thing. I have a friend who is also a Christian artist with many albums, Frank Rendo. We did couple of duets on the new album, and he's just a great guy to sing with, and we go out and we minister to people with our music.
Yeah, and you mean it.
I do.
Yeah.
I absolutely do. You know, as you mentioned, I started in the seminary with a desire to do a master's degree in theology, Christian theology, and it was just a matter of, you know, so much has happened between my wife and wanting to take care of my children, and, you know, just the turmoil that, you know, when somebody dies, it doesn't hit you until afterwards, all the nonsense that you have to go through. You know, that's not the end. That's just the beginning of your suffering and the things that you have to do. So I just kind of took a step back from my life and said, I want to just get into my own reason to be, and why am I here? And I've gotten a lot of messages from the Lord saying, get out there and sing, because for a long time I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to open my mouth. I didn't want to talk to anybody, you know. And more and more as I step out into my new life, that message has rung true. You must sing, and sing for people.
Yes. Yes, and so now not only are you singing and you're doing your ministry through your music and all that, now you've taken up this cause of talking about on radio shows and TV shows and all that about this whole drug thing with doctors especially, which you wouldn't think it was there, but it's there in a big way.
Well, I had asked Seema's cardiologist, because she died from a heart attack. clot was thrown into her pulmonary artery, and then the heart stopped. She had two toes that had gone necrotic. That means she had gangrene in two of her toes. And I was asking this cardiologist, well, do you think it was a clot from these two toes? And she said, no, Michael, that's where SEMA was shooting up. And I just was kind of blown away that this, I was like, you're talking about a person that I didn't even know.
Yeah.
But she told me, this cardiologist told me, that it's common. In fact, it's rampant in young surgeons, young up-and-coming surgeons. They have a lot of responsibility. They have a lot of pressure. They have a lot of my wife had to carry if she wanted to quit her doing surgery, would have to carry a 20-year tail on her malpractice because somebody 20 years down the road could sue her. There's just so much weight on some of these people, and that they do need to find a way to escape, and many of them choose the drugs that they have readily available to them, which is not good for the rest of us who are being operated on. And I don't want to cause any sort of aspersion or cast any bad light on any doctors, especially a doctor that may have a substance abuse problem. And the thing is that these people do need our help. They don't need our judgment. What they do need is to understand that they're people too. They're not gods. You know, my father was a doctor. I rarely saw my father, and when I did, he just kind of handed down the orders, and we followed him. So there is that kind of. I think there was a movie with one of the Baldwin brothers where he says, I'm God. And unfortunately, that is part of the we put that kind of auspice on our doctors, saying that you're God. And I remember when my aunt passed away, my father's brother said to my father, why didn't you save her? You're a doctor. You were expected to save her. And there was no saving her. She had a brain tumor. And there was just no saving her. But my uncle stopped talking to my father at that point in his life, and it was terrible. But they're not gods. They're people, too, and they're susceptible to all of the things that you and I go through and getting up on stage and all those anxieties that musicians have, and they are also susceptible to turning to things that they shouldn't turn to. And certainly I'm not saying that all doctors do that, but there are a good percentage of doctors who do.
And Michael. I was about to say, isn't it ironic that the stress of like potential malpractice is maybe what leads them to drugs? But if they do the drugs, then that might lead to more malpractice. It's a vicious cycle.
It is. It's a catch-22, and they find themselves in a very difficult situation. Whereas when I told my wife, I said, "You need to give up your license put your license on hold for the next year." And she said, I just can't do that, because her whole identity was being a doctor. My identity was being someone who loved her. That was my identity. So I didn't have that sort of need. And she needed to be a doctor in order to be her. And that was something that I definitely disagreed with. I said, darling, you're the woman I love. You're the mother of my children. That's you. What you do is not you, you know. There's more to that. There's a lot more to being who you are than what you do for a living.
Well, obviously, Michael, there's a lot more to you than what people get to see on stage, and they love you already, but I trust that it'll be even more so the more they get to know you through shows like this and through future shows that you'll do on this topic. But now, as we close here, back to your singing, you said some really beautiful things about why you're singing again, and what you want your audiences to get out of it. So I'd like for you to share that with our audiences, if you would.
Well, you know, I look at singing as my ministry. I'm not a minister who goes to the church and people listen to me expound on the gospel. I talk to people and get the message across through songs, and I pick my songs very carefully. Like one of the big songs I'm doing on the record is a beautiful gospel version of Bridge Over Troubled Water. And I'm really trying to communicate to my audience that I'm that guy. You can come to me. and ask me to help you. I'll be that bridge over troubled water, because you know, so many times I'll talk to people and they have infirmities, or they've experienced some horrible tragedy in their life, and everybody needs somebody to help them, to talk to, just someone to lean on. And I think that's really my message, is that I'm here for all to lean on and to try to uplift them, even if it's just for the duration of 3.5 minutes, whatever the song may be. And if you come to my concerts, it's an hour and a half to 2 hours of just that storytelling of my life and all of the things that the pain that I have felt and gone through. Other people have felt the same thing. So we're not alone here on this planet. We are, I like to call it the humanosphere. If you take everything else away but the humans on this planet, there is a sphere of human beings on this planet, and we're all connected. And I'd like to keep those connections going, even though things like the internet and kind of have separated us to some degree. Nobody knows how to pick up the phone. They just want to text you. And I'm always saying, no, you can text me, but call me. I'd like to hear the sound of your voice. You know, that's because I love sound. That's music to my ears, is people's voices. And I always tell them, just call me, talk to me.
Hey, Mike. That's beautiful, and you're beautiful in more ways than one. And I'll text you one of these days.
Okay.
All right. Well, with that, unfortunately, we have to say goodbye for now, but it's only for now. We'll be hearing a lot more of Michael Amante out there and here, and we'll be grateful for it. So, ciao, Michael. Until next time.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Chuck.
It's been a pleasure. We'll be back with our producer's drive with Mark Legere and I after this. This is Filippo and Mark on Life Changes with Filippo.
Are you achieving your highest potential? Do you know what that looks like? Louise Ashby Life Coaching makes it a mission to bring balance and abundance to every area of your life, giving you the opportunity to do and be all that you've dreamed. Anything is possible if you just believe. Contact author and motivational speaker Louise Ashby for your complimentary session and see if her individualized style is for you. You can email Louise at louiseashby.org. That's LOUISEASHBY.org, or telephone 323-592-3181. That's Louise at louiseashby.org, or telephone 323-592-3181.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Life Changes with Filippo is a premier radio show presented by Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people to corporate giants, celebrities and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your home or corporate office, and even through appearances on your favorite shows. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching and a private consultation with one of us, corporate event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, visit lifechangeswithfilippo.com and click on our representation page.
Well, this is Philippe on Life Changes with Philippe, and we're here with Mark Lejeur after a great interview with Michael Amante. Mark, he sounds like us.
Yeah, what a special dude. Well, I guess that's it.
Yeah, like us.
A good way to follow up your statement, right? Like us. But yeah, no, the recognition of that, the truth of the identity, you know, that she was struggling with. What a great perspective he had. Too bad she couldn't, you know, tune into that. And I think this is probably the biggest disease on the planet, is this attachment to identity. I mean, it's one thing to be egoic, but it's so ingrained because of culture and society and status and being someone and the whole competitive aspect of who people are that you know kind of clouds over and really walks us away from our real essence or our belief in self, because we become a belief in our developed self in terms of who we become, this other identity that goes with our job or other aspect of our life.
You know, Mark, it's interesting that you should say that, and it's across the board, probably any profession that we get into this, not only identity, but think we have to do things a certain way or put pressure on ourselves, or we have pressure put on us, or both. But I remember, for example, after having lived a life full of pressure working for IBM, I remember moving in with my older brother, who came home from one time from working in his big high pressure job with a big national company, and saw me stressing, and I was singing at the time. I had just started my singing career, and he says, "What are you stressed about? Are you trying to decide whether you're going to sing That's Amore or, you know, Everybody Loves Somebody or something?" And pretty much that's what I was stressing about. But to me, I'm like, how does he know?
Everything is relative.
Everything's relative. So thank God I didn't do drugs.
Well, you know, it's funny. It's funny you say that, because I just saw a picture floating around that shows the riots in Greece and Spain, and the riots after the Giants game over here, and drawing comparisons of what people riot about. And so, yeah, I guess identity is at the heart of the matter, and, you know, different perspectives, everything is relative.
Yeah. They see themselves as people that are wanting, well, I can't speak for them. I'm not going to speak for anybody. I sometimes I don't even know how I see myself. And, you know, we wear so many hats, and even that phrase alone, as I'm saying this, even that phrase alone, it's like, you know, I wonder if indigenous people talked about wearing different hats, or if they just were, you know, this is part of me. My day includes, you know, being a this and a that and a this and a that, you know?
Mm. Yeah, there is always a this and a that. And, no. I think that, well, that can be applied to the egoic self. There is a this and there's a that. You know, the this is probably closer and more intrinsically aligned with your truth, and the that is your projection and or others' projections on you based on you know, maybe what is mirrored back. And that's the biggest struggle I think that we have to overcome, is reconciling the this with the that.
And actually, you know, I was just telling a client to be more specific about this and that, in case we've lost everybody. But I got it. I get what you mean. I was telling her, she's a successful young lady, and she's on the way to being a mother, and she's in a new relationship. And I said, you know, at work, in corporate jobs, I have felt up until recently, I've since left the corporate world, but that when we're in the corporate world, when we're at that job, that's who we are and nothing else. So, and actually Kimberly was talking about this on our show. Remember Kimberly Carter Gamble, when she said, you know, being a mother was looked at upon when she was working with Newsweek and large corporation, was looked at upon negatively, and like you couldn't be a good corporate citizen, or however she said it. So we're supposed to leave being a mother at home, being a husband at home, or a wife at home, or and leave that someplace else. And here you're just our employee, and that's the wearing of the different hats. When in truth, we're all of that and more.
Well, and that all creates angst. That creates angst because you're disconnected from who you are, or you're asked to be disconnected, yet you can't be disconnected. And so, you know, there's those moments of truth that flare up when you react to certain things, or when you get an energetic response to being asked to do something else. And, you know, it's contrary to the system and the way that we're educated and the way that we're taught to be good employees. And really kind of we've gotten away from the creative process. You know, you stop playing the instruments. We're going to take those out of the schools first, because we have much more important things, because you need to, you know, run that call center or stitch the clothing or, you know, work on the assembly line. So it's kind of an interesting whole other topic, which then leads right back to identity and why people are so attached to what it is they become, as opposed to because they haven't learned or been allowed to or been rewarded for cultivating what it is they truly are.
Yeah, and the irony of it is using your analogy to they'd stitch clothing better or new and more creative ways or faster, whatever, and et cetera, et cetera, if they did have the music and the arts in the school. So God only knows what's happening there. But, you know, this separation, I know that you and I watched a video actually of army men that were called in by a bank to drag a 63-year-old woman out of her house who was disabled. And it was the lack of compassion, you know, whether or not it's right that they do that, whether or not they have a right to do that. The fact that they didn't show any kind of compassion to say, you know, like this could be my grandmother, this could be my sister or my aunt, or like to understand that obviously this person is having a hard time making their bills. It's like they might still have to kick her out. But somebody that was filming a video said, think about this when you go home. Well, that's just it. There's a separation. It's just like there isn't that tie. They, you know, when they go home, they shut this out.
Maybe. Well, yeah, I mean, there's a whole other discussion here, because it is the lack of compassion is one thing. The complete disconnect with common sense and human decency is another. I mean, you know, full flak jackets, hollow point bullets, you know, a massive number of individuals. And this is a disabled woman and her son. And even the neighborhood, I don't believe, has, you know, it's not like she lives in a biker neighborhood and they have to be worried about the neighborhood uprising. There was four, you know, 18-year-olds that were filming it. A very interesting juxtaposition of process and humanity.
And so people take drugs, prescription and or otherwise, and it seems to be a big problem for everybody. And I think you said it really well, Mark, that it goes back to identity, to self, to the I am. We are not in ownership of who we are. And that's a topic that actually keeps coming up, and maybe we need to dedicate a whole show to that soon. I think that would be a good thing. What do you think?
Yeah, we need more of this and less of that.
And technically this show is about the I am. I heard somebody talk about our show and say that what we do is we help people gain the confidence and the understanding of who they are and to be themselves, more of themselves than they ever thought possible. And I thought, wow, we've never actually said that, although we desire that for people. Maybe we should start saying it. Anyway, maybe I just did. And with that, Mark, we've said a lot. And Michael said a lot for us as well, or with us and to us and to all of you. Then you'll be hearing a lot more from him and his music, and a lot more from us on the show and in our music as well, and everything that we do, because this is important. With that, I thank you, Mark. I thank Dorothy Donahue, our producer. Thank you, Doug Newsom, our engineer. I am Filippo Voltaggio, thanking you as well and saying, as life changes, remember, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes with Filippo, with the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the BBS Radio Network and visit us online at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. Today's show has been made possible in part by our sponsors, IonWays Water Systems, Change Your Water, Change Your Life, and Love and Miracles with Dorothy Lee Donahue. To learn more about them, visit the sponsor page of our website. Once again, join us here next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. Change the world.